One of the things that I always find odd and curious about when people are thinking of transitioning their practice, certainly people think about, you know, getting the money out of it. But actually your clients are also, you know, very concerned about how that transition takes place, because oftentimes you may have been working with some of your clients for 10, 20, 30 years. They see the gray hair on you and they're concerned. So actually when you try to find some sort of buyer or some way to exit the profession where someone will be taking over your clients, thinking of selling the practice actually is very beneficial to your clients, not to mention hopefully to your nest egg. So just to give you a little historical background, I suspect a lot of boomers and older may be tuning in here today and may recall that when they started practicing law back in the 70s or 80s, you couldn't sell law practice. The ethics rules in every state prohibited. And it wasn't until 1989 that California got the idea that, you know, maybe it's a pretty good idea for lawyers to actually sell their practices. And then about a year later, the ABA got on the bandwagon and they adopted Rule 1.17 that essentially, you know, copied the California rule. Since then, approximately 40 to 45 states have adopted a rule comparable to 1.17 and allow sales. There are still a few outliers that do not. And there's actually some very, very good reasons to allow the sale of a law practice. One, in the old days, lawyers, as you know, are very clever. Oftentimes, there would actually be a sale. The reality, in fact, was they would sell the furniture for inflated prices. They would somehow create sham partnerships. But lawyers, being lawyers, somehow often were creative enough. So the ABA, in its infinite wisdom, as well as the predecessor, California, thought, you know, we might as well be transparent about it, and no need to, you know, hide the ball, so to speak. Another reason supporting the policy of the rule was, as some of you may know, in medium and larger size firms, the senior partners tended to be taken care of by the law firm or the younger partners. So there was a transition method in place automatically. So the ABA thought there would be a good idea that, you know, solos and very small law firm owners had a similar playing field. And then, as I mentioned earlier, there was recognized that having some sort of transition from one lawyer to the other was in the client's best interest, because the alternative is that the clients will just scramble for new counsel.